welcome back to Sit Still, Look Opinionated, a comedy and political satire podcast. I'm your host, Claire Malky. That antique record your parents can't get enough of. Scratchy. So everyone knows next week is Thanksgiving, and you know I'm ready with my eating pants. Although we don't condone the history of Turkey Day, we do condone Small Business Saturday, which is a day you turn off Amazon Prime and turn to businesses that don't have spaceships. And guess what? This podcast you're listening to, we don't have any space travel devices. But, drum roll please, this year we are offering an exclusive offer on Patreon starting today, November 19th. When you join us at the $3 level, or known as mildly opinionated, you'll receive, in the mail, a handwritten note from yours truly. But Claire, what if I want to join at the $9 level or the $15 level? Will I still get a postcard? Yeah, duh. Patreon not only allows us to keep making this podcast, but it also keeps us connected with all of you. And I would absolutely love to hear some of your opinions over on Patreon. And make sure you sign up soon because this offer will expire on December 1st, 2021. After that date, I lose all my fingers and won't physically be able to write anymore. Okay, I'm joking. But definitely check it out. Visit us at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast for more information. So, speaking of the holidays, let's discuss traveling. I know for some of my friends, this year will be the first time they're going home for the holidays since 2019. When I travel, I either create a playlist of songs or download a bunch of podcasts to listen to pass the time. But my taste in music tends to change from year to year. Not quite sure why, but most likely because I become obsessed with a song, can't stop listening to it, and then one day just drop it like every hobby I've ever had. But there are some songs and albums that really stick with me or instantly bring me back to a moment in time. I know this week so many people have been talking about Taylor Swift re-releasing Red, but honestly, that album, when I listen to it, it takes me back to a very specific moment in my life. Like, when I listen to Treacherous, I immediately get chills down my arms. I know you Swifties are out there, so you know what I'm talking about. It's so cool to me how music can mean something different to the musician and to the audience. For example, the song may hold a deep emotional story that's really personal to the creator, but it could mean something completely different to the listener. It's crazy to me how much music interconnects all of us. We have got a phenomenal show for you all today. For today's interview, we have the Chicago local band, The Q's. Deb and Kayla were so lovely to talk to, and this interview was so much fun, and I really know you all are going to love it. Make sure you stick around. Also, a quick heads up, we will not be releasing an episode next week. We are taking a break for Thanksgiving. But if you miss us, go ahead and listen to one of our past episodes. There are 4 seasons worth, and they're all amazing. Winter has come in Chicago, so today I am drinking a delicious hot toddy. Grab your drink and let's get started. Up next, this week's headlines. Rudy Giuliani was roasted on social media after he used a filter to make himself look like Abraham Lincoln. 67 felonies ago. House Democrats are scared the GOP may successfully steal their seats in 2022. This year at Christmas parties, the federal government asked employees to refrain from playing musical chairs. It could get violent. Steve Bannon turned himself in to federal prosecutors on Monday. Also on Monday, stock prices for gin and vodka crashed. Some drought-stricken U.S. cities are considering recycling wastewater for public use. Experts are calling it the New York model. Japan is making fuel pellets out of soiled adult diapers. No, this doesn't mean you can start eating spicy food again, Grandpa. It's wildly believed that Kyle Rittenhouse will walk free after his trial concludes. First time, said cops. Last week, Taylor Swift re-released the recording of her album, Red. It's been well-received, even by right-wing media, who thought the album was Swift coming out as a Republican. A fourth wave of COVID is rising in Europe. At this point, COVID has made more comebacks than Cher. New York officials are debating whether to make outdoor dining permanent. Would you like to eat next to the garbage outside or the rats inside? Choice is yours. It's been 20 years since the first Harry Potter movie was released. When asked for a comment, the fictional character responded, "Started from the cupboard, now I'm here." Steve Bannon was held in contempt of Congress last week. Bannon confessed this was the first time he's been held by anyone. A family was rescued after being stranded for 4 days in the Australian outback in their camper van, which is lucky because most people pay thousands of dollars to experience Burning Man. This week, Britney Spears was finally freed from her 13-year conservatorship. No one cares about your lost scarves, Swift fans. Britney is free and Toxic will be on blast till the day I die. And that was this week's headlines.
The eye is more sensitive to blue than any other light, and the white conservative is more sensitive to blue lives than their own flesh and blood.
Mommy, I fell off my bike and it hurts.
Shut it, kid. I'm YouTubing cop highlights from the riots last summer.
Here, kid, give your mom these new thin blue light glasses. They show you a world where blue lives don't exist.
You mean they just show you reality?
I can't promise that she'll start loving you, but she will definitely start hating the cops. Good luck, champ.
Thanks, mister. Do you have a Band-Aid?
With our thin blue light filtering technology, you won't stop the rise of the police state, but you will see it coming. Let's field test a pair. Hello, ma'am. Tell me what you're seeing.
The brave policeman is arresting that criminal to make our streets safer.
Here. Try putting on our thin blue light glasses. What do you see now?
That black teen is being ruthlessly beaten for a broken taillight. I'll be making buttons and blogging about this. Thank God for these thin blue light glasses.
And just like that, another useless activist is born. But the true test is television.
Who the hell are you? I'm missing Sheriffs Joe Arpaio and David Clark on Fox News right now.
Perfect. Now, try our thin blue light glasses to enhance your TV experience.
Fine. Whoa. Instead of the sheriffs on TV, there's just these two limp penises talking. And one of them's in Sheriff Clark's hat. And, whoa!
What now?
There's a guy who's staring at me in my mirror right now, and he's covered in cheese dust. Honey, you better not be sleeping with this guy in the mirror.
The thin blue light glasses. Because if blue lives were real, the Smurfs would be a documentary.
Sit Still, Look Opinionated, we're reaching across the aisle and heading to the Deep South. Please welcome Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Really poking my head out of my shell to be here. Well, thanks for having me.
First, I never expected you to agree to this interview. Second, did you just make fun of yourself?
Well, Claire, my career is riding into the sunset and I just wanted to set the record straight and have a good time doing it.
La lots of Americans probably wish you'd ride off like Alan Ladd at the end of the film Shane. And I'm trying to be open-minded and give you a chance, but what's with this new act?
The act is something I want to discard. It's been going on too long. It's true. I am Moscow Mitch.
If I could say fuck in Russian. Fuck! In Russian!
Блять is fuck in Russian. Go ahead, give it a try.
Блять? Wait, your accent. Wait, what have you done?
You quick learner. I hacked 2016 election, granted Russia annexation of Georgia, and the manager of new GOP country band featuring Marjorie Taylor Greene on triangle and Lauren Boebert as the drum by order of Russian Ministry of Propaganda.
Wait, don't you mean on drums?
No, as drum. Boebert's head very hollow. Great for drumsticks.
Hold on. My fact checkers told me that Russia annexed the Crimea, but the Georgia conflict involved military and no annexation.
Why you think latest infrastructure bill over 2,000 pages? I scribble annexation of Georgia, the state, to Russia in red pen on last page where no one noticed. See? Ha ha ha.
The clubs in Atlanta are part of Russia now? This can't be legal or constitutional.
Democrats are pushovers and the Republicans sheep, so I make reality as I go along. Soon, whole South belong to Mother Russia and my wife, the soon-to-be Empress of China.
How have I been able to fake it for so long? I can't believe I have to apply for a visa to visit my girls in Georgia!
And I can't believe stupid accent work too. To me it was obvious whole time I work for Russia.
Okay, team, let's wrap it up. We have enough to convict this scum on federal espionage charges. Time for your arrest.
Wait, you not just cute podcast host? Why you have gone all of a sudden?
That's right. In this economy, I need two jobs to afford the American dream. Podcasting is my passion, but being an undercover FBI agent pays the bills.
Come on, I bring vodka to relax. Have shot with your comrade Misha.
Too late for international diplomacy. And I drink bourbon, bitch. Bitch McConnell. Has a nice ring to it.
Officers are on the scene.
Cuff this traitor. Don't forget, treason is punishable by execution. And read him his rights after you put a foot up his ass.
You haven't heard the last of me, Claire. If that's even your name.
I could tell you, but then the question won't torture you behind bars. This is Claire Malky. Maybe. Signing off for Sit Still Look Opinionated, the podcast that just made America better. Great news, everyone. We have new staff writers this season. We were able to hire them through your support from Patreon. To keep our writers on our team, please consider subscribing to our Patreon. Thanks so much to our patrons, Sam, Laura, Andy, Christina, Anthony, and Anna. Hope to add your name next week. For more information, find us at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. Up next, my interview with The Q's. And for today's interview, we have the Chicago band, The Q's. Deb and Kayla, thank you so much for being on Sit Still Look Opinionated.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
I'm so excited to chat with you all today about your music. I recently saw or opened with you all for Superhuman, which is an improv team here in Chicago. And it's so great to see you live. For our listeners who don't know you, could you give us a little introduction and a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, so we are married. That's usually the first get with people. You know,
I'll tell you the most interesting part about our band right from the beginning, so you're hooked immediately.
Yes.
Oh, now I like them. I've been doing comedy here for almost, I'm set going on 8 years now. So I did stand up, music stand up for a while and wrote my own solo music. And then one day I was like, you know what? We were just singing this song in the car. And it sounded really good. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to just have her on stage with me for a second and see how it goes. And wow, wow, wow. Audience went berserk. And they were like, two wives singing together. Whoa. So ever since. And then people saw us at that show and then asked us to do their show. So then it ended up sparking this whole thing. And we started opening up for 1 billion improv shows.
Wow.
And then it never really like grew into anything bigger. And then the pandemic happened and we were like, well, now we actually have the time to really focus on the band. It always kind of came second to comedy because it wasn't like our first thing that we were focusing on. But I don't know.
Yeah. Love it always now. Felt like more like a just a fun hobby or an extracurricular. So, so yeah, it always got pushed to the side, but then we started being asked to do more and more shows. And then all of a sudden we had this like repertoire of songs that we could just pull out and do. And yeah. And then pandemic and so much time.
We decided to write our own songs.
Yeah.
And that is the story.
Kind of dig a little deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So how did you all sort of discover music? Like, was it something you did growing up? Like how did you all, discover your musical capabilities?
For me, my dad's a pastor, so I grew up in a Christian home where we were the band for the church. Everybody in my family played an instrument or sang. And then I sang growing up my whole childhood because my whole family did. And then I sang in a Southern gospel trio with my parents when I was a teenager into college.
She led a Southern gospel trio with her parents every
day.
It was like her
really
in the center
harder, right?
And her parents kind of flanking her on each side, singing, tenor and soprano parts behind her. And I was like, this is what you do.
You know what? It was a time of my life.
It was. It I happened. Love it.
That's how I look at it.
It did it happen. Yeah.
So I did that for a long time. And then, but we met specifically in show choir in high school. So technically, it was music that brought us together.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. What about you?
I always loved music growing up, but did not come from an incredibly musically gifted family like Deb did, singing in natural 5-part harmonies on a whim. I loved music, I think, in a regular way, like we all do. But then, yeah, it was mostly just like school choirs and things, and then ensemble, which is where I met Deb and. How we started singing together. And then it turned into singing in kitchens and cars. And then, yeah, just kind of transferred to a stage.
Mm-hmm. It happened very organically,
yeah.
Which is what I love. I never was like, we are going to be a band and you're going to do this with me. And it's going to prolong or it's going to help my career. It all happened very organically. And we keep doing it. And we kept doing it because we genuinely just enjoyed doing it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was never forced, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes creates the most, genuine and like raw pieces of art when it's like something that just sort of grows out of an idea.
Yeah.
So you all mentioned, during the pandemic, you all started writing your own music and you did just release a new album, which is very exciting. Can you talk a little bit about your album and your music creation process? And I know you all have a pretty like special story, so I'd love to share that with our listeners.
Yeah. I think for a long time we wanted to tell our story somehow. But never really knew the right medium in which to tell it. So we've been together for this November it'll be 13 years. And a 13-year relationship that a lot of stuff goes down, especially when one of us has an extremely closed-minded religious family. So we did have a crazy story, and it's been good for like the last chunk of years, but like the first half of those 13 years were very rough. There's no sugarcoating it.
Very roller coastery.
If
that's a word.
Well, yeah, ton of issues. I mean, like that a lot of queer people unfortunately go through. It's kind of a lot. I mean, it's we're not a part of a small group of people that have had experiences like this. Mm-hmm. But we always would tell people our stories or our story, and they would be like, "You have to write that down. You have to do." And it just never felt natural, and it always just kind of felt weird to be like, "I write it. I airing out something that was very personal and traumatic to us mm-hmm. to like, I don't know, get attention. Because it's not something that I'm like to shout from the rooftops necessarily. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it was bad times and like reminds us of a bad time and whatever. But when we decided, we were like, you know what? Pandemic, we have nothing else going on. We never had time to actually write our own music. Or to record. One of our best friends, his name's Chase Lilly, he's also an improviser, he started getting into music production, and he was like, I would love to record. We can all quarantine, we can do our own thing, we can take vacation for a week, and we can just like record some stuff and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when, that was another thing that happened organically, was then we were like, oh, maybe this is how we tell our story. Mm-hmm. It never felt natural writing it down. It always felt weird. But it finally felt like a time. I mean, like everybody was pretty vulnerable during the pandemic already as it was.
Right. Yeah. A lot of reflection going on already. Yeah.
So we were like, you know what? Maybe this is the time and this is the thing that we write about. This is what the album is about. Cause we could write a bunch of standalone songs about breakups, which is like pretty much all we sang. Exactly. But we could, you know, actually try to push ourselves because I'd only really written comedy music up until then. So it was kind of a challenge, but it was a challenge for many reasons. Like it was a challenge musically for us. It was a challenge to talk about something really horrible and traumatic that happened to us years ago that we haven't really, really confronted. We have, but haven't really.
We also started with the goal of just like a small EP, like maybe 4 or 5 songs, you know, kind of short. And then once we started though, it just kind of started growing and growing. And we had this kind of loose idea to sort of do it as like a narrative album. So it was, you know, you could see like an arc in a story and it starts, I guess it starts with us like not even really sure we know who we are, but maybe there's something more out there. And then the meeting and then, you know, it just follows the arc of a story basically. But I think the nice part is that since we're at the end of our story, but since we're married now, so we kind of know how that piece of the story ends. And I feel like because of that, we knew we had a beginning and you know, an end, quote unquote. And so we just started filling in the middle. And I don't know. Yeah. Once we started, it just kind of kept coming out and we were like, well, this was kind of an important chapter. We probably can't leave that out. And so, I think if you listen to the whole thing from beginning to end, you might hear a full story, but it doesn't explicitly say that either. So it was kind of our way of getting out our story but not being so, so specific and so exclusive that it's like writing a book either.
Yeah.
Just couldn't stop writing either, you know? I was like, is this what Taylor Swift feels like? She's like, I can't stop writing music. And I'm like, Taylor, I had the same thing. I had the same person. He wrote 4 additional songs. We were planning on it.
I know,
this
we ended up
with star?
9 full songs from a 4 to 5 song EP. So
that's just amazing. Like The Q's, the newest Taylor Swift, everyone. No, that's
not. Okay. Grab that song.
Yes. Well, congratulations on 13 years together. That is a really like phenomenal number. You had mentioned like this process sort of like naturally happened and you were just writing more and more songs as you were going. Did you all have like, oh, I want to write a song in like this genre of music or like this style, or did that kind of like come with the creation of the songs?
You know, it ended up being a total smorgasbord of genres and it was not the plan. But I think, of course, after it happened and we were like, oh, wow, we really don't stick to one. I mean, we do what we do, like what we love doing the most and what we usually perform is like folk. It's like folk,
like
pop,
one
Americana.
Guitar, two voices.
That's generally what
harmonies
we lean towards. But And that's what we thought we were going to make. We thought we were going to make an EP of just like just us and our guitar singing our harmonies. And then our
In walks Chase Lilly.
In walks
and changes everything.
And he was like, no, we're gonna do it. I mean, I'm saying this with his tone. He was so wonderful and kind, and he's very, very sweet.
He just encouraged us to explore different sides that we had not explored before, and it turned out to be really fun, and we really liked it. And yeah, we were able to bring in so many of our incredibly talented friends that, again, we used to have like jam brunches where every Sunday, not every Sunday, like once a month on a Sunday, we would have brunch and we would like bring all these instruments and just play music for the whole day. And we were able to bring a lot of them in on the album and just to add all of these different instruments because, yeah, normally it's just the two of us and one guitar.
Yeah.
And, but on the album, there are multiple guitars. There's bass, drums, violin, saxophone, piano, percussion. Cowbell. Yeah, there's just all kinds
saxophone.
Of
saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I was resistant at first to like doing more out of the box genres, and then I think about that now and I'm like, why was I listen to everything under the sun? And it, like, a lot people say that I really listen to everything. There's not one genre of music I don't regularly listen to, and I've always been that way. So I think back on it in the hard time that I gave Chase, like fighting it as much as friends can do. It was always with love, you know what I mean? I was pretty nice, but I was so resistant to it. I'm like, why? Because I listen to so much, and now every song when we listen to it, I can hear exactly who our inspiration was. I can hear our favorite artist in each song, like who's in that field or in that genre. I feel like the album as a whole ended up being like an homage to all of our favorite artists, no matter what genre they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because it also feels genuine because every style we love singing it.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't what we got used to singing on stage. So it was really good. It was a great way to get out of our comfort zones and to like push ourselves musically. Yeah. And a lot of that is because it is thanks to Chase.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I think when we finished, there was one part of us that was like, I don't know, is this genreless? Does it lack direction? Like, is it just something that doesn't know what it is? But I don't think that now, because then the other part was like, no, it's exactly what Deb said, is you can just, there's all these different influences, and I don't think you really have to stick to a specific genre anymore. And we called it genreless, and a good friend said, no, it's genre full.
Oh.
So after she said that, I was like, oh, okay, that's a good way to look at it, actually. That makes me feel like it's all over the place, but intentionally.
It still feels like one piece, too. I don't listen to it, I think none of these belong together. They all feel different and sound different, but the theme is still there. I mean, I think thematically it feels like one piece.
And especially with a narrative album, you know, there's going to be different feels for, you know, each chapter, if you will. Mm-hmm. What was that like, you know, listening back to it now and being able to like pick out all your friends' instruments? Like, how does that feel that they're kind of in this journey with you?
Oh, I love it.
It's the best.
I love it because I feel like it's someday. Well, we weren't like huge on recording in the past. We were never like that crazy, like that eager to do it. But when we realized we really wanted to, we're like, it's so we can someday show our kids, like, your moms were cool once and they did this thing and they made an album and this is the story. And I feel like for that reason, I'm really excited that we had like our actual, like, genuine friends play on it. Because it'll be, I'm excited to listen to it, you know, years and years from now. And I'll be like, that's Susie on violin. That's our best bud, Susie.
I know. I think it is this thing. I mean, I assume we would have been connected forever already, but it does literally connect us forever. And it makes it feel like this is our baby, you know, not just the two of us, but everyone involved. That's the other thing. Anyone and everyone who played instruments, we didn't come in and say, okay, this is what we want you to do. Or we didn't have them rehearse. We didn't hand them music. We had them come in all individually. That's another kind of cool thing.
It was really in the thick of COVID.
Yeah. So just for safety reasons, we had everything we had kind of pre-recorded and then brought in people one at a time into a room by themselves where they could listen to what we had and just play over it, whatever they thought would fit.
Yeah.
And that's what we have today. Like, that's the finished product. So every person, I feel like, basically wrote on the album because they wrote all of their own instrumental parts. And a lot of times those instruments, I feel like they create new melodies within the song, or they just add so much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like what you get when improvisers make an album. Is that mm-hmm. We were like, no, do whatever you want. Improvise whatever you want. I mean, obviously we had like an idea of like, oh, maybe something that sounds like this, but everything was collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was improvised.
Yeah.
And we love the finished product.
Yeah.
And so that is,
that way. I'm still so impressed. Like when I listen back and I hear all these instruments and I'm like, that's my friend.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And that is a really, sign of the times where like you did have to record just by yourselves. And, you know, that's another element to it. It's like digs in deeper a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's one of the things that's like, you know, now the album's out there, like, you know, and you made all the music, what's been like the most like difficult part, like in the producing side of it, I guess?
Ooh.
That's a good one.
I'm gonna let you take the reins.
Well, okay. Production wise, we fully rely on Chase. Mm-hmm. He does everything. He organizes most everything. We, maybe one of us more than the other, have input whenever, you know, he wants to do anything. But
I don't know who she's talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Production wise, it's completely on Chase. And we're just so grateful to him. But I guess post-release, or the hardest part, I think, around the release time. Well, actually, literally, it was kind of the logistics. There's so much you don't know about, like, oh, I want to put this on Spotify. And there's, like, licensing things. And you need a distribution company, even if you're not distributing it like that. And mm-hmm. there's all of these, you know, small things. We had to get like copyrights for the songs, and we didn't think about that stuff at all. So that was kind of hard, but I think really the hardest part is just because the songs they're not comedic songs, was really just releasing them and kind of being vulnerable and putting this piece of work out there that we put so much time into and so much heart, and not knowing how people could react or not. Or
yeah, like I was very scared for my family to hear it.
That
they're
too.
Very intertwined, and I mean it's about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just vulnerable. I mean, yeah. Like I'm used to going on stage and doing the opposite of being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm
on
like
stage,
pulling my pants down.
You're usually a character.
Yeah, yeah.
But this time you're yourself. So.
Right. Right.
I think that was, and then for me, I never do anything like this. I work for a Fortune 500 company. So this was definitely just the vulnerability of everything. And then you're singing on top of it. You wrote the songs. It's a whole, even if it's not, you know, like the instruments or the music is good, you know, I don't know. What if someone doesn't like your voice? Just the tone of, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question.
No, I definitely think that was answered. You know, now that, you know, we're still in the pandemic, but things are a little more open. How has it been performing, you know, in front of live audiences again?
You know, we really haven't done it that much. The show we did together was like
the second one.
I will be honest and say that we kind of consciously decided not to do too many live shows.
Mm-hmm.
Just because
I think that actually started because pretty much as soon as we released the album and could have maybe been ready to do it like at an outdoor show or, you know, months later, you know, opening at an improv show or something, like half of our band moved to Washington, D.C.
Oh my goodness.
And it felt like, well, we can't do these songs without violin. We can't do this song without saxophone or piano. And it just felt like I don't know, at least for me, I was not eager to book shows because it would feel like we needed to use the whole band, but the whole band wasn't there. And these songs are so different without the whole band. And now that we just released it, people are going to expect that we do songs from the album instead of like our old covers. And it just didn't feel like we could do them justice without the rest of our team behind us. But that wasn't really an option. So at least for me, that's why I kind of avoided stuff. But we have done a couple, and we have brought in a we're still doing covers a little bit, but we have definitely, you know, incorporated some of the songs from the album. And at least the ones we've done, I think they have felt really good. It makes me feel like we can start to dabble a little more. Maybe we can do shows a little bit more and, you know, try some of these songs that were technically originally written with just two voices and a guitar. And just because we don't have our full band behind us doesn't mean we can't do them. I don't know if they'll be this, they won't be the same, but
yeah,
maybe we can still try. But I for me, I was kind of dragging my feet with shows because of that.
Yeah, that answers it.
But
yeah,
it feels, the couple we've done have felt really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm excited to do more.
Yeah.
Very slowly getting back into
yes.
it. I know there were a lot of other people very eager to get back to performing. And me personally didn't feel that as much as some of my friends. But I'm starting to get back into it now. Mm-hmm. Pandemic, it just made a lot of, it changed people. It changed me. Yeah. I realized how much I love having dinner with my wife at 7 o'clock every day. And not going to doing a 10:30 PM Tuesday night show for about 8 people in the audience. Why was I doing that for so long? I mean, I do know why I was doing it for so long, but I think a little part of it for me is that I just gotten used to not performing. So it's like I have to learn how to ride a bike again.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally.
I can definitely sympathize with that. Yeah, there's one thing where it's like, I'm at home, you know, it's cozy. And then, yeah, getting back out there, it's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tiring.
What is one of your favorite parts about music in general? Like the creating, the performing, like just overall, what's something that like really keeps you going in that sense?
For me, I love doing it with you. It's, I mean, you know, not to sound corny, but it's just something we can do together and it's fun. And I mean, we still, you know, sing in the car or sing in the kitchen with wooden spoons or, you know, just in our living room. And I don't know, it's still fun, I guess. I like doing it with you, and I like that it's still fun, even though occasionally it's stressful. Mostly when we were making this album, but
there were some stressful days in this household.
We have to finish this song by tomorrow.
But that's expected. I mean, when you're doing any kind of project of this size, that's expected. But
yeah,
I just love that it's still fun.
That's my answer. I love doing it with her. I've done music my whole life, independently or with my family. And it was with family, it was I sang whatever my dad said we were singing. Mm-hmm. Independently, it's more vulnerable standing on a stage by yourself singing something, you know, that you wrote about.
Oh, that's for sure.
Whatever I wrote about, faking speaking in tongues the first time in church. I think that's my favorite part about it in the last couple of years, is just being able to do it with Kayla. I automatically, even when I'm on stage, I feel so much more calm if she's next to me.
Oh yeah, same.
Yeah.
Most of the time they're like, we're so sorry, we only have one mic. And I'm secretly like, thank you. Now I get to stand closer to my wife and only look into her eyes and I don't have to see anyone and get nervous. Yeah.
That's so lovely. Yeah, that sense of like, okay, we're in this together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like if we bomb, we bomb together. If we do well, we do well together. Like, that's great, especially when you're with your person.
Mm-hmm.
Doing something you love, I think that's something really, I feel like ever since the Q's took off, and especially in the last like 2 years, more than ever, we're like, could we do this? Could we start a business together? Can we do this together? That's something
true.
That
yeah,
I
and
thought,
outside of music too, but
I think we've just realized we work well together. I'm sure there's a lot of married couples that don't, mm-hmm. and need that space. Unfortunately, I'm very attached to her.
Yeah, we're constantly looking for more ways to spend more time together.
Yeah. But I get to hang out with my best friend all day when I'm singing, and I feel like that I would love, yeah, I feel like,
yeah.
I don't know, who knows? We've thought about just quitting it all and getting a camper and going across the country and doing something. I don't know if I have the balls to ever do something like that, but I've never thought about it more than recently.
You're like, this could be the time.
No.
That's what everyone says.
Also, we hate camping. So probably not actually going to get a camper, but...
But I love the idea of it.
But we love the idea.
Going off.
Because yeah, Instagram makes it look awesome.
Yeah, Instagram makes it look really
If nice. Everyone on Instagram can do it, you know, it must be feasible. So
yeah, obviously. <Right. laughs>
That is real. Well, Devin, Kayla, this has been so lovely. Thank you for chatting with me. If our listeners wanted to find your music, check you out, where would you direct them?
We are actually on everything. I mean, we're even on iHeartRadio.
It's true. I think the easiest way
not to brag.
yeah, iHeartRadio.
Heard of it. I think the easiest way, though, we have a link tree, which is in the link of our Instagram. Then whatever, you know, media platform you use, you just click on it there.
Yeah. Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, and YouTube. It's like literally, we made sure it was on. As much as we could, mostly for our parents.
So what's our Instagram handle?
Our Instagram handle is The Q's Music. The and then QS Music. And that's where Perfect. Our link tree is. And yeah, all the info about it.
Amazing. We'll definitely make sure our listeners can find all of your great music. So we do have one final question. The show is called Sit Still Look Opinionated. What is something you are opinionated on or about? And this can be about anything in the world.
You know, we talked about this before because we're like, there's a lot of things that we are opinionated about.
Of course.
But I think Kayla had an idea and I was like, that's it. That's the one. I think we're most opinionated. Wow. Say that fast. Opinionated.
It's a tough word.
Surprisingly it is right now. about food.
Yeah.
We're massive foodies. Kayla is an amazing cook. I mean, I will not shy away from telling the first person I meet. I'll say, hello, nice to meet you. My wife's an amazing cook. I'll tell anybody who will listen to me. And it's kind of made us a little bit of food snobs.
Mm.
But I like it. I like it about us.
But not like, I mean, not like snobs. Just no, we just like, are very opinionated about food because we love and appreciate every aspect of it from the whole experience. I mean, we definitely still eat at Taco Bell. It's not like we're fancy.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we're going to appreciate every aspect of that taco from Taco Bell. And then we'll also go to RPM Italian and talk about the steak tartare. So I think yes. We're just, yeah, anytime yeah. It comes up, I'm going to pipe up immediately. So that's what came to mind first.
I love steak tartare. Actually, my friend who's in town, we were like, okay, we have to get steak tartare because we yes. used to work in restaurants together. So that's, yeah. I love steak
tartare. Well, RPM Italian actually does have a really nice one.
I heard they got rid of it though, no. off their menu from a coworker. Oh. And it was pretty amazing.
It was really good.
I know.
Dang. I think we're going to try the Vets. I think I looked online and said that they had a good steak tartare. So.
She took me there for my birthday a couple years ago.
I bet that's going to be
There's awesome. Like a little like dark cellar area in the basement that's like Ooh. More speakeasy-ish. Mm-hmm. You should try to go down there. It's
just
cool.
full of like candles and velvet chairs and brick walls.
Yeah. So Love sounds romantic.
Don't forget your glasses though, because you will not be able to see.
don't want to not be able to see.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too cool for us.
Yeah.
Well, Deb and Kayla, thank you again so much for being on the show. I really loved chatting with you all, and I can't wait to share this with our listeners.
Thank you for
thank
having
you
us.
So much for having us. Yeah.
And that's all for today's episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at sitstilllookopinionated@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on social media at sitstillpodcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast was produced by Michael Dritto and me, Claire Malky. and written by me, Clara Malky, Michael Dritto, Fee Bosanyavichs, Gabriel Skavor, Molly Smith, and Charlie Bain. Theme music by Terrence Jackson. Transition music by Christina Walter. And royalty-free music from Epidemic Sound. Check out our referral link in the show notes. If you would like to support this podcast, please subscribe to our newsletter at www.sitstillpodcast.com and visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. This podcast was recorded on the land of the Kickapoo, Peoria, and Potawatomi Nations. And of course, I'm your host, Claire Malky. Oh, and don't forget, stay opinionated. Bye.